want to wish everybody a happy and a safe and a healthy upcoming Independence Day. And I think it's fitting that we talk about what it means to be free, what real freedom is, especially in light of what has transpired this last week with the Supreme Court ruling on homosexual unions or marriages or whatever kind of fiction they want to call it. Let's just dive into the reading, shall we? Let's see what God has to say about this. Our second reading, St. Paul is telling the Galatians that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He set us free from sin and death. He set us free from the waywardness of our own wills. He sought to do that anyway. And he talks about this interplay between the spirit and the flesh. You know, the spirit is that which God, you know, moves us to do and invites us to, the way of living that we should. And then the flesh, though, is that, as I said, the waywardness of our desire. You know, because of our fallenness, we tend to gravitate toward that which is not good, that which is not good for us or good for others. We think it is. We're confused. We're spun about, but we go after things oftentimes that are not good for us. And it's a slavery. It's a slavery. For freedom, Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. That is that yoke of sin that drags us around. We hear in our gospel, the sons of thunder, James and John, Jesus nicknames them sons of thunder because they're so fiery and they're so enthusiastic, and oftentimes they're enthusiastically wrong, you know. But they're going on their way, and he's making a trip from Galilee down to Jerusalem. And on the way, they pass through the region of Samaria. And as they're getting ready to enter a town, they find out that the messengers that Jesus sends in front of him have been turned back. They're not welcoming him. And James and John say, "Lord, should we call fire down from heaven to consume them?" You know, they're thinking, okay, they have rejected the Lord Jesus, so they deserve punishment, X. But Jesus rebukes them and says, no. And they move on to another town. Now, at first, it sounds like Jesus is being a pushover. But no, when we look deeper into it, we realize that he is giving them their freedom. He's letting them abuse their freedom. What is freedom, by the way? In the last, I think, several decades, we have increasingly gotten this idea wrong. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever it is you want to do, whatever occurs to you as a good idea. That is not freedom. That is not freedom. That is license. Freedom is having the ability to choose the right instead of the wrong, or to choose the best rather than something that is good but less good. Okay? So freedom is being able to choose that which is proper and right and just and good for us and for others. Okay? So that's freedom. It is not doing what we want, but rather having the ability to say, yes, Lord, I will do what it is that you want. Knowing full well, trusting in God, that doing what he wants is in the end even best for us. Okay? So it's a deep freedom involves a deep trust in God. And that sets our souls free from the need to try to determine our own existence and our own destiny. You know, that the Lord, we trust that the Lord wants to steer us in the ways that we should go. To go back to the Supreme Court decision. Again, the church never has and never will condemn those who have homosexual inclinations simply because of their inclinations. But we can always and everywhere say that it is wrong to act on those inclinations, much less to ensconce them in our nation's legal code. That is ridiculous. How arrogant of us to try to presume to redefine what it is that God has obviously put into play when we look at nature. We can see what his plan is for all of that. So we stray from what it is that God wants. And I think it's very safe to say It's just safe to say that we have stepped outside of the protection of God in this nation. We have completely and resolutely stepped outside of the bounds of His protection. Now, I want to look at the gospel again. I want to look at that exchange between James and John and Jesus. They're using human logic, and they're saying, okay, because these people have rejected Jesus, they've rejected God, and they deserve punishment, active punishment. But that's not how God works. He does not actively punish those who go against His will. However, there is another edge to this sword here. Think about this. This town that rejected Jesus, no, He did not consume them with wrathful fire from heaven. But what did He do? Well, let's look at what He didn't do. He didn't go into their town because they didn't want Him. Because of that, He didn't teach them the truth. He didn't heal them. He didn't raise the dead. He didn't forgive their sins. Because of their choice, there are a lot of things He didn't do for them because they chose it, and He respects the choice. He does radically respect our freedom, totally respects our freedom, even if it's the freedom to do the wrong thing. So we as a nation are much like this town in Samaria. We have chosen to exclude Him from our society, from our legal code, from our own conduct as a nation. And until we as individuals embrace Him and embrace His teachings and do our very best to try to give those teachings to others and to lead others to the truth, we will be lost. We will wander in the dark, and we may fall off a cliff. Without Him, we're pretty assured of that. So, I don't mean to be sobering here, but that's just where we are. This Independence Day, let's call to mind what the real meaning of freedom is. Freedom to walk with God and not turn our backs on Him. And for those who have, whether they're individuals we know or the nation as a whole, let's pray. Let's pray that, first of all, we as individuals may stay faithful, that others may have conversion of heart, and that our nation will not keep its back turned on the Lord, but that we will run back to Him.